Leathered yellow leather.
Hey, look, it's James Hetfield, and he's going to give us an intro.
It's Jonah Radio.
If this is going to be that kind of party, I'm going to stick my dick in the mashed potatoes.
Neil, girl!
Out here, it's just a little bit sweet, brother.
Welcome to another installment of many installments. Which installment is this, Cash? What is this? What number are we at?
Of actual podcasts or lockdown podcasts?
I don't know. What's the difference?
This is 230. This is episode 230.
This is the episode where we go to the what, Neil?
Zoo?
Dentist.
Dentist. Neil. One of your all-time favorite jokes.
Oh, 230. Right.
That's one of your favorite jokes.
Yeah. No, I'm still trying to figure out if I can boost my volume somehow. Sorry.
Neil's like jazz. It's like you're supposed to play this note, but Neil goes and he just breaks the instrument in half.
Yeah.
Yep.
Clamps.
It's clamps. It's the jokes you don't tell.
I'm Jonah Ray. Dio can't make it. Cash Hartzell is here, and I appreciate that.
Yep, waving at my computer like a jerk.
Hello, Cash. Thanks for acknowledging me.
Cash is using a 1960s IBM.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why he has to that's why like most of his apartment is just full of it's just a computer. It's just rooms.
No, my wife does not like it.
Yeah, there's like
cat loves it though. There's so many warm spots.
Big wheels of tape spinning.
Yeah. Neil's here. Neil's figuring out his microphone.
Nah, I'm giving up.
But you know what? It sounds great, and there's been no noise, and that is fantastic.
Great. Yeah.
You know what? Let's just get it into the thing of the show. Where we're going to play a song, and when we come back, we're going to do more of the show. Can you imagine the show? It's happening now. So we're going to start with a song. Oh.
We are.
Could have been such a smooth segue. He could have talked it up to the post just like a real Rick Dees motherfucker.
Yeah.
I wonder how he's doing in the pandemic.
Rick Dees nuts. Another Neil favorite of these nuts. This was a classic. What did you have queued up, Cash?
I had Fresh.
Okay, cool. This is a band called Fresh, and I believe they're out of the UK. And this is a song of theirs called Nighttime. If you want your music featured on this podcast, send it to us. Jonah Radio, RAYDIO at gmail.com.
Miles, the train station in the rain.
Oh, delightful.
That was really good.
A little song called Nighttime from Fresh off of a single they did called Daytime Nighttime. I went with Nighttime because if you're an Adam Sandler fan, Nighttime is the right time. Anyone remember that one?
I don't
know.
Remember that from his first album?
Are you thinking of Ray Charles?
No, it's there was the sketch where it's like a guy that keeps on trying to sell him like weed, and it's like he's like, oh man, I'm so drunk, I had so many beers. Like, he's like, oh yeah, you had a lot of beers. He's like, yeah, I had like 15 beers. He's like, wow, 15 beers, that's a lot. Is that the beer that I gave you? Yeah man, I'm so wasted. He's like, well, that was non-alcoholic beer, so you're lying. And then it goes down. He's like, well, it must be the weed I smoke, man. He's like, oh, is that the weed I sold you? Yeah, that was pencil shaving. So you're lying again. You're not really stoned.
No. I'm pretty sure Ray Charles also did that sketch.
Yes, probably.
I always get Adam Sandler and Ray Charles confused, but I never got the whole pencil shavings is weed thing. Pencil shavings look nothing like weed.
There's a certain kind of, I think the kind that, not the like the handheld one, but I think the kind of more like electrical one, because it just kind of looks like a bunch of mashed up hash, right?
Fake weed once. That it's literally just a plant that's grown to look like weed, and some homeless guy had it and sold it to me, and we smoked a lot of it before we figured out it was not real weed.
Ooh, but what were the side effects?
Coughing. And yeah, anger, usually. Apparently, at the homeless guy.
Well, I guess it's that time where we talk about
what?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's not a good time.
Well, I don't know. It might be a good time to do it. It's daytime, right?
But it's in this environment.
Well,
in this climate,
in this state.
Do people really want to hear about
amusing news?
The covers.
I did, but
did you feel bad because are you doing that just because you were upset of me making fun of the fidelity of the last time?
That and a little bit of, like, you know what it is about the boys are back in town? It's that bass line. It's that open, and everybody like does their own version of that is not as iconic. And I was just like, you know what? Let's go back to the classic, because everybody knows what everybody knows what that means.
Well, yeah, it means it's time for music news. That's right. It is time for music news. We talk about the whys and whos of who cares. Here's the thing. I've been starting to, like, you know, really dig deep a lot, and I'm finding some great stuff that's out there that we've not really checked out before. And so this, I don't know when this came out, but this is pretty great. I guess Nickelodeon has a show called America's Most Musical Family.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a Search for the Von Trapps, but American.
Yeah, I think so. And it's, you know, it's what's the guy from 98 Degrees? Nick Lachey. You know, he's a host of it.
Oh, and, fantastic. Glad that guy's working.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll always do some kind of show like that. And so they had they have like people, like families that are like you know, family members that are in a band together. And so they had a group called the Harris Three, and it's a trio, if you hadn't already picked that up, of Ashton, who's 14 on drums, their dad Jason is playing guitar, and Trent, who's an 11-year-old, is the singer. But what they decided to do on this Nickelodeon America's Most Musical Family is they decided to perform Smash Mouth All-Star.
Oh boy. In
a death metal style.
Wow.
And it's an 11-year-old kid doing these vocals. Just keep that in mind. It's an 11-year-old
here
kid.
Here to sing the Smash Mouth Classic All-Star, make some noise for Harris 3.
It's okay. I want to hear this part again.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's an 11-year-old kid doing those vocals, and the drummer at 14 is doing those, like, the backups that came
fucking
out.
Crazy double bass too.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it was incredible, and like people went ape shit in the crowd. There was like little kids just jumping up and down. Everyone's eyes got real big, and then the judges afterwards were just like, all they like, they're like, they couldn't just they all they could talk about was the kid. Like, they're like, it's like, your vocals are insane. Like, you're 11, you can get that low. Imagine when you get older, how low you're gonna get. And they're like, yes, all of them, like, there's this one lady, she's like, please start doing vocal exercises now. It might feel lame, but you gotta protect that voice.
Wow.
It's gonna sound like Burl Ives when he's 15.
Please, we need another animated snowman voice.
Yeah, but it's like, it was incredible. The best version of All Star I've ever heard in my life.
Can you imagine you're 10 years old, you've been bugging your parents to take you to the Nickelodeon part of Universal Studios Florida forever. You walk in and all of a sudden you're introduced to death metal and you love it. Like, it's the last place in the world you'd think you'd get it, but like, oh my God. It's like, I want that. I don't know.
Orlando, Florida is a death metal, like, haven.
Yeah, you got Obituary down there, and others. A lot of goths and metalheads in Florida.
Well, I mean, when you make staying inside so attractive down there, I guess it just kind of goes with it.
Yeah, I can't believe we missed this. I feel really bad as he is part of our namesake, but we missed Ronnie James Dio's birthday, which was on July 9th.
Oh.
He would have turned 78, and we totally beefed it. We totally, and I'm upset about our listeners not even mentioning it. How instrumental Dio, because without Dio, this podcast is just me, and nobody wants that.
So Cash and I are Dio?
Yes, you guys are, it's a you, yeah. You know, you're Ronnie and you're James, and the show and the unit you make up is Dio.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
I have a normal name.
A lot of people kind of pay tribute to him, he apparently was like a really good guy. You know, Dave Grohl said he remembered him as one of the greatest singers of all time, but he would give all of his time, energy and love and attention to do good things. Jack Black said one of the greatest heavy metal singers of all time, and that he was such a sweet and genuine dude. And like, even like Rob Halford from Judas Priest was just like, it's incredible, because it's like they're all saying like, yes, he was very talented, but like, he was a good guy. And isn't that like kind of like, don't you want that to kind of rival your memory?
Yeah, and that it's much, people remember you more when you're a nice guy, because they have, like, it's one of those things. It's one of those sort of backstage looks. It's like, everybody is exposed to your music, which is great, and everybody can remember you that. But when you hear the song and then somebody goes like, oh, he did this one time, or there was this story about how great he was, I think that sort of extends your legacy a little bit more. Like, it's not just the recorded stuff you've left, but it's actually like something greater, which is an interesting thing to think about.
I was going to see a therapist a long time ago, and he was like an old school. He used to be a comic in the 80s, and he was a therapist now, and he was really good. And but like, I remember he was telling me a story, and I think I've like told you guys about this before, but he was friends with Bernie Mac, and so when he went to Bernie Mac's funeral, he said like, pretty much everyone, like, no one really talked about how funny he was, because he was very funny. Everyone got on stage and talked about how they were jealous of him because he was such a good guy. Like, he was just like, apparently, like, and that's like, it was nonstop, like, what a good guy, what a nice person, what a giving person. Because it's like yeah, he's funny, but like, this is what he's leaving behind, like a bunch of people saying that he's just a cool dude.
That's really nice.
That's rad.
Yeah,
good way to go out.
Good way to go out. not that soon for him. Also, if you've never seen it, go check out Bernie Mac's set on Def Jam, where he's wearing the crazy pants and he's just like attacking the audience that has been attacking.
I ain't scared of you. Yeah, I ain't scared of you.
I ain't scared of you.
Oh my God. That's...
Yeah. And like, hit it. And then just the music comes on and he does a dance. I did a parody of that once, like for the Nerdist TV show on BBC. There was like a thing where I dressed up as one of the villain people from Superman 2. The guy with the beard.
Yeah, Zod.
What was his fucking name? Yeah. Zod. Yeah, sorry. So I dressed up as Zod, and it was like a sketch called Zod Talks.
Oh yeah, yeah, I remember that. I was on that season. Yeah, that was really funny.
Yeah, and like I changed. It was just supposed to be like you know, Zod talking about different ways to take over the world, but like I wanted to like pizzazz it up with my performance, so I turned it into basically a tribute to that set of Bernie Mac, where I go like I would like kind of like. You know, bring up a thing. It's like, and then when things get a little hotter, the water temperatures start rising, and then we take over the world. Hit it, and then a song comes on, and I just start dancing as Zod, with like the you know the widow's peak and the whole outfit. It's like I was just like thinking to myself, I was like, no one's gonna get it. No one that watching this shit is gonna get my ode to Bernie.
Yeah, Mac. Yeah. The Superman 2 and Bernie Mac Venn diagrams are very, very small and include you.
Yes, exactly. I'm like, it's like, I say this about a lot of things I'm into. I am my own Venn diagram. I am a circle of me.
Ooh, that's a good lyric.
Yeah. Thanks. I'll write it down.
Or memoir title, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Memoir title. That's pretty good. The memoir title I want to use is the one that BJ Porter gave to me.
What's that?
It was What If I Tried? The Story of an Unknown Comedian.
The days of what ifs.
Had a bit of a reputation. Yes, exactly. If you want to relive the 90s by going to a virtual festival, you can head over to monkeon.co.uk. And basically, it's a different lineup every time, but like you go and it gives you a randomly generated lineup of bands who played a UK festival in the 1990s.
Wow.
And so what it is, it's like you go to it and it brings up like, you know, two different stages, you know, and from like whoever played, you know, festivals in the UK in the 90s. And then you could like, here, I'm looking at one, David Bowie, Smashing Pumpkins, Cypress Hill, The Verve, Chemical Brothers, Bare Naked Ladies, Aphex Twin. Those are the headliners. But if I click on any of these, it'll take me to a set of theirs online from that era.
Oh, really?
Oh,
that's really cool.
Yeah.
And it's,
isn't that kind of neat? Like,
yeah, you get your, and it's random every time. So you go, you, if you reload it, you, what's it called?
It's just, monkeon, E-O-N, .co.uk. Here, let me like reload it and see if, it gives me something else. Okay. Yeah. Here's another one. The Microsoft Bob stage, will have Oasis, Tool, James Brown, Gangstar, Aphex Twin, Kent, and Eagle Eye Cherry, and then a whole bunch of other stuff. And then on the Reef Alcopop stage is The Offspring, Tribe Called Quest, Bush, Bjork, Pulp, Fish, Spin Doctors.
Wow.
Hey, Jesus Lizard. Hey, I think that's the one you want to go to, Neil.
Yeah.
Fish, Tribe Called Quest, Bjork.
Fish sharing a stage with the Jesus Lizard.
Yes, yeah. I mean, they're probably hours apart in the day. Wow. Also, Townes Van Zandt, Taj Mahal.
Wow.
Ooh. Taj Mahal.
Luna Chicks. Yeah, let's,
wow.
I'm going to do it again.
We may be.
The volume compilation stage will have Radiohead, Korn, Queens of the Stone Age, Cypress Hill, Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, Tony Bennett, David Gray, Afghan Whigs, let's see, the Divine Comedy, Elvis Costello, Jane's Addiction, Marcy Playground,
Pogues. Wow.
The Special, Screaming Trees, Therapy. And then on the Two Dogs Lemon Brew stage, you got Van Morrison, Tool, Dave Matthews Band, Coolio, Fatboy Slim, David Holmes, Rancid, Alice Donut, The Amphetamines, Bentley Rhythm Ace, Blaggers, ITA, DJ Hurricane, and many more. Orgy.
That's so cool.
I think you mispronounced Therapy.
Therapy?
There you go.
Oh, there with the question mark.
Possum Dixon, Sex Pistols. Let's see. Let's. I'm going to redo it one more time and then click on it and see what... What takes me there?
I totally forgot that Tony Bennett was on like Lollapalooza for a while. He was in the 90s. I wonder what stories he has about fucking Lollapalooza.
He's probably just walked in, done it, and then leaves.
Yeah.
He probably hung out with Elvis Costello for a while.
I think they did an album together.
Well, you know, like at Riot Festival, they've been kind of doing interesting stuff. Like last year, I think they had the Village People, and then I think it was during YMCA or Macho Man or something like that. Like people just started doing like Wall of Death style moshing like to the Village People.
Good.
So it's good for them. All right, do you guys want to hear the Melody Maker stage headliners or the Shine compilation stage headliners?
Melody Maker.
Yeah.
Okay. David Bowie, Beck, No Doubt, Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, Jeff Buckley, Yola Tango, The Flaming Lips, and Archers of Loaf also on that.
That's a good stage.
Yeah, The Orb, Stereo Lab, Julian Cope. That's a good one. I like that. So let's see. What do you want to check out today? Cash, there's a lot of bands stacked up on top of each other. Who do you want to check out?
Stereo Lab, of course.
Okay, Stereo Lab. I'm going to click on Stereo Lab, and it brings up within the site a YouTube set of theirs from Sweden, not in UK, but whatever, Europe, from an October 1995 entire show.
Wow. That's so cool.
Isn't that cool?
I wonder if, I feel like this could be homework for our listeners, is like, generate your own and then spend a day at a festival.
Yeah.
Just you know, bottle of wine, maybe sneak some weed into your apartment and put a blanket out. Just pay $25.
Sneak your friends in.
Yeah. Yeah. Kick down your own fence. Go shit in a field. It's all you do it all yourself.
Go shit in a field. Moving on.
Moving on up.
Someone did an article recently about so like in 2014, as we all remember, Gene Simmons said that rock is dead, and I think we told him to fuck himself on this show in person when he was a guest. We told him to go fuck himself.
Yeah.
He didn't like the garage.
I find that very disrespectful.
Get out of here, Gene.
Get out of here, Gene. But so he said it's dead. But let's take a look at the Billboard MRC top five rock albums of 2020.
Oh, I saw.
And boy, boy, oh boy. Yeah. So these are the best-selling rock albums of this year.
Wait, what's
number five?
What's MRC?
MRC is the Mid-Year Music Report.
Okay.
So number five, Rumors by Fleetwood Mac. It's the number five rock album of the year.
Okay.
Number four, Journey's Greatest Hits.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Number three, Creedence Clearwater Revival's Chronicle Volume 1.
I think Gene is getting his point made.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number two, Diamonds, the Elton John collection that came out in 2017. That's the most recent release.
Oh, Jesus.
And then, of course, number one, thanks to Bohemian Rhapsody, Queen's Greatest Hits is the number one selling rock album of 2020 so far.
So
yikes.
Wait a minute. So there's one. What was number five?
Number five was an actual album. It was Rumors, which is a testament to, you know, Fleetwood Mac.
But the other four were all greatest hits.
Yes, exactly.
That's incredible. I mean, and I think there's some self-selection in there, in that I don't know how many people outside of that target demographic, the people that were alive then, still buy albums. But at this point, don't you own Rumors? Like,
shit.
I always think about one of my least favorite things from the movie I Am Legend, and there's a lot, but the Will Smith movie I Am Legend, where, you know, he's showing off. Oh shit! Or is this? Yes, it was I Am Legend. I wasn't, for a second, I thought it might have been I Robot. One of the many I dystopian movies that Will Smith has done, like ID4. He's showing someone something that they're like, oh, what's this? And they pick up Bob Marley Legend, and he's like, this is the best album of all time. And I was like, well, no shit, it's in the running. It's a fucking greatest hits album.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Beatles one of the best albums of all time. Yeah, if those songs were all on one album, there'd be no contest.
Well, yeah, they would have shut it down. Yeah.
Well, it's also like, how did he determine that this was the greatest album of all time? Did he wander through dorm rooms and just write down how many posters were up. Like, that's that's crazy. That's insane. 2020. I mean, what?
Well, it's also just based. It's just based on sales. It's not like new releases or like, you know, that kind of shit.
Well, but it's also what?
Yeah.
Can you guys think of like the last big album, big rock album, at least that everybody had in my mind was maybe the Strokes' first album. Like that, I feel like everybody had a copy of that. But I can't think of anything in the last 15 years that was like just ubiquitous. Maybe like Run the Jewels, but they never sold those. Those were all just pay what you want.
Yeah.
And that's hip hop.
Yeah. I mean, there's maybe like Queens of the Stone Age came close.
Yeah.
Like
that was a very,
what's the one, the red one with like, that was like the big one with all the hits. Songs for the Deaf, but the one after that, I think, right?
It might've been Songs for the Deaf. I'll look it up.
Songs of the Deaf, but that was still like, I think that was like either the same year or the year after the Strokes. Mm-hmm. This Is It, or Is This It?
Is it really that long ago?
The Strokes was like,
because 99 or 2000, I think it was 99, was that Rated R from Queens of the Stone Age.
Okay.
Ecstasy, marijuana,
the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was Rated R, Songs for the Deaf, and then Lullabies to Paralyze was in 2004.
So that was probably, and that was a pretty big album, right?
It was.
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, there's also Yoshimi from Flaming Lips. That was
a big one.
Widespread.
That's probably 2005.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somewhere around there. But it's as far as like just like, you know, and then maybe Vampire Weekend, but at the same time, that's like around the time where everything started getting split and you know, rock, everything was just getting segmented, but
yeah, people are buying singles.
Doesn't mean good music still isn't out there.
No, not at all.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, we're going to take a break for some ads and some music. We're going to play you know, we love covers here over Jonah Radio. I want to play, I'm going to play you two songs from this band. But we're going to play their cover of Cranberry Salvation first, and then we're going to play one of their other songs later. But this is a band called Ursula from Apple Valley, California. They are a hardcore band and like screamy, thrashy, and it's incredibly exciting. I love the stuff I listen to of this band. But then for them to like do like a really good cover of a great Cranberry song, I was like, I'm sold. And then the first song on this EP starts with a King of the Hill sample, and I was just kind of like, I was just like, well, fucking, they just fucking sold me, female screamy vocal hardcore, and then fucking King of the Hill reference. But anyway, here is a Salvation cover, Cranberries cover by Ursula, and then we'll be right back with more radio.
No, it's not. Hey guys, Cash here in my car to make a point about Keeps. Did you know 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35? The best way to prevent hair loss is to do something about it while you still have hair left. You can get treated from home. You used to have to go to a doctor's office for your hair loss prescription. Now, thanks to Keeps, you can visit a doctor online and get hair loss medication delivered right to your home. They make it so easy to deliver your medication every 3 months so you can say goodbye to pharmacy checkout lines and awkward doctor visits. Keeps offers generic versions of the only 2 FDA-approved hair loss products out there. You may have tried them before, but probably not for this price. Prevention is key. Keeps treatments can take up to 4 to 6 months or more to see results, so it's important to act fast. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save. Find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and nearly 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. Keeps treatments start at just $10 a month. Plus, for a limited time, you can get your first month free. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/radio to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/radio. RAYDIO. Hey, it's Cash back in my car to make another point about Harry's. Guys, you know Harry's. They're the razor company that's been sponsoring our show for the last couple of months. And I have to say, I love Harry's. I've talked about it in the past. Got to shave my beard when I go out to work to wear the mask. Harry's has been doing a great job keeping me up to date with a nice slender shave so that my mask fits great. Well, if you like Harry's, you can get a Harry's trial set delivered to your doorstep by going to harrys.com/Jonah. Why should you give Harry's a try? Well, Harry's is a return to the essential. Quality, durable blades at a fair price. They're just $2 per blade. They've cut out the middleman, manufacturing blades in their German blade factory that's been honing precision blades for a century. Harry's is super convenient. Blade refills are delivered directly to your door on your schedule with or without a subscription. Harry's has all your grooming needs covered in one stop. You can get your blades, hair care, and shower products all on harrys.com. And just like their blades, Harry's is committed to providing premium products without breaking the bank. And you can feel a little better about a purchase. Not only are 1% of proceeds set aside for nonprofit organizations devoting to helping provide access to better mental health care for men and veterans, but to help support those who need it most right now, Harry's is donating $1 million worth of shaving supplies to hospitals across the U.S. Listeners of this show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/Jonah. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/Jonah, that's harrys.com/JONAH, to start shaving and saving today.
Whoa, red flag, Bobby. I have been advised to listen to this record.
Just God, you're sorry, doesn't raise your ability. Yeah.
That was Ursula. That was two songs from Ursula. Red Flag, which starts with that awesome King of the... And I just watched that episode recently, like, where Bobby Hill wants to get a bunch of CDs, so Hank takes him to the CD store, and it's like, hold on, this one says it has a parental advisory.
I just watched Red one flag, last night, Bobby. The Bulldozer episode. No, that's the one where Bill goes back to high school so he can split his high school touchdown record with a guy who... God, it's such a good show.
Yeah, it's a really, really great show. But anyway, yeah, Ursula, U-R-S-U-L-A, like the character in The Little Mermaid, but great band out of Apple Valley, California. Really stoked. All right, back at it, guys. Couple quick hits of news. The Dalai Lama goes number one with debut album.
There we go.
There's a
rock album back on the charts.
Yeah.
Right? Here's another thing. Kirk Hammett was sitting on the toilet when he got a call to join Metallica.
Great anecdote.
Yes. And then when he had to tell Exodus, his high school band, that he was leaving, the singer Paul Baloff poured beer over his head.
I guess that's the last victory you're going to get over.
It could have been like in a locker room celebration kind of way. Like, oh, yeah, you're going big leagues. Time.
It was. And they were very upset with him.
Oh.
And then he also took some riffs.
Took some what?
He took some riffs with him. That's stuff that he had written while they were working on stuff together. Oh. That apparently showed up. That apparently showed up on Ride the Lightning.
Well, tough titty.
Alice Cooper is getting his own chocolate milk. The beverage will benefit the veteran rockers' Solid Rock nonprofit.
Okay.
And this is real. You can look it up. You can go get some Alice Cooper chocolate milk. How does this work?
The best place to get chocolate milk was a school cafeteria, but Alice is saying school's out forever. So make up your mind, buddy.
Yeah, chocolate milk milk bottle at your retail grocer for home or delivery across Arizona. I guess this is just a very specifically, which is crazy because you think it would just, it's from Phoenix, but you think it would be from Milwaukee. Hey, remember the movie?
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's the Wayne's World.
I think it's Dwayne's
yes, World. Yes, Dwayne Wayne's World. Did anyone ever?
No, that's a different. No, that's a different world.
Was that that was a Living Color sketch?
I don't know what. I'm laughing anyway, at it all.
No, he was on the show A Different World.
Oh, sister. Alice Cooper. Also, this is a two for Tuesday. Alice Cooper calls for U.S. police departments to weed out the bad guys.
All right.
He says, "I guarantee you that 5%." Says, I guarantee you that 5% of the police force in every city have got a racial problem.
Well,
all right. I used to have a racial problem. Hey,
Rachel, not racial.
They were on a break.
But a neat little factoid about that that was brought up in an interview off of All Things Considered, but from the Hawaii Public Radio. All things considered, because Alice Cooper lives in Da'aina. Ooh. I think he lives on Maui.
Yeah, a lot of good golfing around.
Yes, exactly. I think it's that guy Supermensch, whatever that dude.
Oh yeah, that guy that was his manager or whatever for.
Yeah, yeah. And staying within the rock element here, guys. I want to tell you the story that a friend of the show. Daniel Cohn, editor over at spin.com, great dude, very funny, very smart about music, but he wrote about this back in April, and I guess I must have missed it, but so there was a, he reports that there was Andrew Bennett has had a new book coming out called 212 Days and Nights with the Genius of Eddie Van Halen. It's called Eruption in the Canyon. And there's apparently in it, he had pulled a gun on Fred Durst. So let's do this. According to to a bit on alternate classic rock. The book says that Van Halen was introduced to Durst and Limp Bizkit by a record exec who suggested they jam together following Wes Borland's departure from the band. And so Bennett said Durst responded, "That would be hilarious. The greatest guitar player ever plays with the worst band ever." So Van Halen apparently was so dismayed by the jam session to the point where he called it like being a scholar amongst kindergartners. And then the next day he went back to get his gear from the Beverly Hills house. And this is where Bennett's description continues. Eddie once bought an assault vehicle from a military auction. It has a shine gun mount on the back and is not illegal. Eddie drove that assault vehicle through LA into Beverly Hills. I like to think that Eddie Van Halen still lives in Pasadena.
Yeah, me too.
Through LA into Beverly Hills, then parked and left it running on the front lawn of the house Limp Bizkit was rehearsing in. He got out wearing no shirt, his hair in a samurai bun on top of his head, his jeans held up with a strand of rope and combat boots held together by duct tape, and he had a gun in his hand. Jesus. And then he got to send a message. And then he says that asshole answered the door. Durst, and he says, and then I put my gun. This is now Van Halen said to Bennett. I put my gun to that stupid fucking red hat of his. And I said, "Where's my shit, motherfucker?" That fucking guy just turned to one of his employees and starts yelling at him to grab my shit. Eddie Van Halen stood on front of the lawn. Eddie Van Halen stood on the front lawn of a residential home in Beverly Hills in broad daylight, smoking a cigarette while holding a gun on Fred Durst as he went back and forth from the house to the assault vehicle, lugging amps and guitars.
Jeez, how many fucking guitars do you need for a jam session?
Well, you never know what you're gonna need. So you might need a double neck, triple neck, quadruple neck. You never know.
7-string, 12-string.
Yeah, a whole case full of different screwdrivers.
Yep,
drills. You know
that is.
That's insane.
You're talking drinkable screwdrivers, right?
I'm curious as to that's not the worst a jam session has ever gone. I'm sure somebody's died, but like nobody expects it's gonna go that bad. Do you think that all the dudes, this is a story that all the dudes from Limp Bizkit tell. It's like, "Hey, my buddy plays guitar. You should have him come over and jam." And like every one of them's like, "I don't know, man. Does he own any guns?"
Yeah. What's his vehicle situation?
Could he get it on the lawn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet Durst just
one of those days. Be careful not to break stuff. That's another song of his.
Yeah, it wasn't as good as mine though.
I feel it was on par, meaning they were both terrible. Neil, let's just call it a day.
Just one of those.
Speaking of terrible rap metal shit. I want to show you guys a compilation of people doing Disturbed's "Down with the Sickness" at karaoke. Here, let's listen to this. It's only 54 seconds, but it's fucking terrible.
Of those were kind of whispery.
Did you hear that one? Like, it was the penultimate one, which is just like, "Wah!"
I swear to God, I heard a dog in there.
The once named Herd Immunity Fest seeks fans' help in setting up festival grounds.
Oh, that's a hard
one. We previously reported on the Herd Immunity Fest, which is now, I think, just I think they had to change their name. But they apparently need some help setting up the tents and stages and stuff like that. On Wednesday morning, organizers reached out to fans via Facebook asking, so with that weather we had Tuesday, it cut off a day of getting things set up for the mini fest. So if you have time or would like to help us get everything set up today, Wednesday at about 9 a.m., if you can come out to the expo to help out, that would be great. Good news. Looks like the rest of the week is going to be very nice.
Good news.
Like there's been... No incentive. No incentive.
Oh, that's so... Well...
Wow.
I don't know. Herd Immunity Fest seems like it's not coming together.
What's the new name for it?
I think they're just calling it Mini Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
Yeesh. Speaking of disasters, Great White did a North Dakota concert and it didn't have any COVID-19 safety restrictions at all.
Yep.
And I mean, what's their game plan at this point? But did they kind of go like, it's like, listen, we haven't had a lot of traction since 2003 when mostly everybody was talking about us. What if we tried to
kill? Yeah, I think that's it. I think they're going for like highest body count by a band.
Yeah, it's like, and this is their quote: "We do not have restrictions, believe it or not. We do not have any." Like they're bragging about it.
I mean,
for people who don't remember, Great White killed 100 people in a
Providence, Rhode Island.
In Providence, Rhode Island, when they were told that they can't have their pyrotechnics in a venue that small, and they did them anyway.
Yeah,
and it ended up. Lighting the place on fire and there was no exits. So it was a real terrible, tragic event.
Yeah. I'd been to shows at that place. It's like the size of a smallish comedy club. Like
Jesus,
not like indoor pyrotechnics on a low ceiling.
Yeah. But the laughs you can hear when not people catch on fire. How do you go from like, hey, our band had a hit, but is mostly famous for catching people on fire. We're doing a show with no safety restrictions. Like it just doesn't.
Yeah.
Not only that, their one hit was a fucking cover.
Was it?
Yeah. Once Bitten, Twice Shy. I think that was a cover.
Well,
oh shit.
Maybe they're just covering Danger.
Speaking of asshole bands, you know, we've been tracking the band Lady Antebellum, you know, as a way to get more woke, changed their name to Lady A. And then turns out there was another singer named Lady A. And then the band tried to sue her for rights to the name Lady A.
Yeah.
The Anita Lady A. White is a black woman. And she is she's been using that name. She has releases under it. And she's responding to Lady Antebellum with saying, "You don't just get to come and take because you have that privilege."
Yeah.
And she is right. Fuck Lady Antebellum.
What are they even sound? Are they like bluegrass or something?
I think they're more pop country.
Ugh. Yeah.
Fuck them to hell.
It's not great.
In TV news, the Osborne family
is
headed back to TV, which kind of goes against what I've been hearing about with like Ozzy's health. But also, did you know like Jack Osborne and Ozzy had like a travel log?
No,
like a travel
really?
Show?
Yeah. I remember seeing that in like a magazine or something and then going like, oh, I should check that out. And then never remembering what channel of the fucking 1800 channels there are.
Yeah, it was a few years ago. I remember the only reason I know about it because I was like watching, you know, Psycho was on TV, like a normal TV channel. So I watched it, you know, with commercials and it was on like there was a commercial for it between every fucking thing. It's like, and this week Jack and, you know, and it's of course reruns, but it's just like, this week Jack and Ozzy go to Austin, Texas, so Ozzy can apologize.
Because that's where that can
go. Well, there's a lot of bats there. He probably just stood on that bridge and waited for sundown and screamed his apology at him.
I opened his mouth.
He got arrested.
Got on the bridge and went, "All aboard!"
He got arrested at the Alamo for like.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's called "The Osbournes Want to Believe."
Okay.
And it's Ozzy, Sharon, and Jack. They're the ones going to be doing it. And it will center around Jack's belief in the paranormal, and he will be convincing his parents that paranormal activity exists by showing them poltergeists, haunted dolls, UFOs, and unidentifiable beasts. And it's that's just in the premiere episode. Jack will do his best to convince Ozzy and Sharon, and the paranormal is real, and they'll give their reactions to the clips he's shown them, filmed in real time. Oh, okay, I get that. So Jack shows goes out Ozzy and does the stuff, and then he shows them footage. So Ozzy doesn't have to.
Yeah,
Ozzy and Sharon don't have to.
Never a big Jack Osbourne fan until when I was working on Talking Dead, and he was on with Marilyn Manson, who had gotten wasted before the show, and the deft navigation he did while trying to save Marilyn Manson from embarrassment was really quite impressive. It didn't work. Marilyn Manson still fucked up, but it was like, I gained a lot of respect from that for that guy, where he was just like, oh, this is a mess. Let me see what I can do about it, because I know this guy and if I can talk him down. But yeah, that was Jack Osbourne.
That was Jack Osbourne?
Yeah, it like.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he grew up with that.
Yeah, he's completely codependent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me save this situation. I can save it.
Yeah. I'm a fixer.
Yeah. We got one last little thing as far as news is concerned, and that is that Metallica is reportedly involved in a multi-million dollar purchase of artist catalogs. They're co-manager.
The Michael Jackson thing.
Yes, exactly. And get this, Metallica's co-manager, his name is Cliff Bernstein, which is just so close to Cliff Burton, it makes me uncomfortable. rumored to be involved in an intellectual property acquisition venture called the Worldwide Music IP Fund. And
fund at the end. It makes it sound like it's a charity.
Maybe it's there to help. Maybe it's there to help help artists get all that money back from the Napster downloads.
Famously generous Lars Ulrich wants to give back to struggling artists.
Yeah. We're going to wrap up this with something, the really fun thing. The drummer from Decrepit Birth, Seamus, he's does like these funny videos and stuff like that. And so this reminded me of a Neil's thing. So this is a bit called like, this is how drummers knock on doors. This reminds me of Neil. Can you tell that story about Jesus Lizard?
What? Him telling that joke?
Yes. Can you tell us like,
That was
the one time he hit you in the head. We know that one, but like, tell him, that you did that joke.
Yeah.
You want to do my impression of a drummer.
Yeah. He's like, how do you know there's a drummer at your door? And then they go, and then it goes. It gets faster
because they have a hard time keeping time. So this guy, it's almost kind of a take on that where it's this is how drummers knock on doors. See how many songs you guys can name when we start listening to them. You guys know what that is? That was Super Mario.
Yeah. We Will Rock You.
Yep.
Led Zeppelin, When the Levee Breaks?
That's When the Levee Breaks, yes, exactly. Smoke on the Water. That's YYZ.
That was a bad YYZ.
Ah.
Terminator. Indians?
I don't know that song.
In the Air Tonight?
Oh, right.
It's Raining Blood by Slayer. This is any AC/DC song. That's Hot for Teacher.
Oh, nice.
Iron Man.
Oh.
That was Moby Dick?
Yeah. Shit. I was going to say it was the Beastie Boys song, but they sampled it.
Domination. For Whom the Bell Tolls by Metallica.
Wipeout.
Wipeout.
Sam, that's enough.
All right. Six Seamus over there on the old YouTubes. Very, very funny stuff. All right. Well, here's the thing, Cash. I miscounted the amount of tunes I had. So let's we're gonna wrap up the show. That's the end of music news. That's the end of the show. Did you guys have a good time?
I had a great
time. We still have one more thing that's just called Everybody Butthole. I don't know what that's about. Oh.
That's what we're going to be ending on.
Because
you know, usually we do a song at the end of music news, and then we come back and say goodbye, and then we play a song.
I remember that.
Oh.
So I miscounted the amount of songs. And I thought, I thought we were going to spread out the Ursula tracks.
We are. There's just going to be ads in between them.
That's true. All right. But anyway, so yeah, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and continuing to tune in. It's a, you know, send us your friends' band, send us your brother's band, send us your sister's group, just send us stuff, Bandcamp links, Jonah Radio, RAYDIO at gmail.com. Some of the songs we played today, were submitted to us by a band that we had already played. We said send us your friends bands, like, you know, so if you've been played on the show and you want to support your friends, because this is what the show is about,
support your scene,
and I'm gonna get the name of that friends support your scene friends. Exactly, friends, friends.
Dun, 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 dun.
But yeah, not so yeah. Nelson Savage, who we played a week or so ago, they sent us their friends, from all over, the UK. And there's stuff that we're going to kind of start playing through some of the stuff, which is, really great. And, so we're going to, end with a song that I made though, because I'm very excited about it. Cause I've been trying to teach myself how to do, sampling and stuff like that. And I've always thought this, history lesson, part two, the Minutemen would make a good backdrop for a beat. And then I found some Nas a cappella and just popped that on it. So I've just been having fun with doing that stuff. But so I thought I'd play it because it was good. And I can't tweet about it, you know, because I'm not on there.
It ain't hard to tell. I excel, then prevail. The mic is contact that I attract clientele. My mic check the life or death, breathing the strength with breath. I exhale the gospel of the righteous steps, deep like the shining. Sparkle like a diamond, sneak a Uzi on the Allen. And my armor jacket lining hit the earth like a comet invasion. Now just like the Afrocentric Asian, half man, half amazing. Cause in my principle, I can't express through songs, delete stress like most
trend and extend strong. I drink my wet with Medusa, give us shotguns in hell. From the split that I lift in hell, it ain't hard to tell. It ain't hard to tell. The food amongst in your trunk, turn the bass up, knock doors by eight block, place your loot up, force the shooter, knives to analyze, drop a true L, inhale from the L, school it for well, you feel it like grill, it ain't hard to tell, I kick the steel like Shaquille, hold the bill, vocabulary spills, I'm ill, plasmatic, I freak beats, slam it like iron sheet, jam like a tech with correct technique, so analyze me, surprise me, but can't magnetize me, scan it while you're planning where you're I'll leave a cold like heroin in your nose. Now it's a rock well, it ain't hard to tell. It ain't hard to tell. It ain't hard to tell.